Okay, good evening, Rabbi Isai. The Talmud Rebbe Zichron Livracha was about to get tzaddik. So it was the whole year round, he was a machmir. He was a very big machmir the whole year round. But when he came to Pesach in particular, he was extremely at all the hakpodas one can dream of and one can't even dream of. I mean, puts all our wives to shame. I mean, you know, it's really all the. And the Talmud Rebbe was. Who is on Pesach? He had Leila Seder. He had lots of guests always coming to Leila Seder. One particular year, he had Yekesh Yid coming to him for Seder. It was an unbelievable Seder. It was a Gehoben Seder. It was a beautiful Seder that he turned in all the guests and people. It was a beautiful Seder, and it went through all the Magid and all the mitzvahs. Matz, Morik, Kerich, I was going through, everything was. And then came to Shulchan Oich, we're going through the Suda, we're going through the meal. And as it starts the meal, he has soup, they're having a hot soup. And the Yekeshid was on his, on by the city, you know, was a very simple person, had very little, he didn't have much, didn't know much about Chassidish and Hogim, and so he took his matzah and he put it in the soup, and little did he know that by Chassidim, they don't eat gebrocht. And surely, by the chassidim, you don't put any matzah in a soup. It's gebrocht, and it's a chumru, which is maybe. It's not halacha. It's not din. It's a minig. It's a chumra, which some people are careful. Many are not. But the Talmud Rebbe was very mak, but you don't eat gebrocht. In fact, it's a very very strict chumra by the Talmud Rebbe not to anything, not to go anywhere near gebrocht. I mean, it was very. And this Yekesh, he puts the matzah in the soup, or whatever, it's a mistake, it put, and you can imagine all the chassidim there, just screaming and shouting and yelling, and they want to put him in prison. I mean, it's unbelievable. They go, and everybody, they don't know what to do with the soup. The soup is becoming chametz now, and what's going to do with the soup? The soup is becoming chametz. The yid has become chametz. I mean, you name it. It was like a whole bottle. And he turns red in his face, and pale in the face, and green in the face, doesn't know where to put himself. And they look, and eventually they notice the Rebbe in front of the top of the table. The Rebbe is all calm, carrying on eating the soup, very calmly, carries on eating his soup, and ignoring completely the situation. And then he finishes the soup. After a few minutes, he finishes the soup. He turns around, and he says, completely ignoring the whole tumult that is happening, and he turns around and says, could I please have some seconds? And that was quite a chiddush, because the Talmud Rebbe didn't normally ask seconds. It's one thing if you're offered seconds, but to request seconds, that wasn't quite his... Quite up to his. He didn't tend to ask for seconds, and the person next to him was his son. He said, "Oh, okay, sure, definitely." He was a little bit surprised, taken by shock a little bit, and he gets up. He said, "No, actually, don't bother getting seconds. It's fine. It's fine. I can see the days over here had pointing to that super. I can see there's some left over here." It's fine. Don't bother going to the kitchen to get more soup. It's fine. And he takes and asks for that soup to be taken. Half of it was obviously left over. Nobody wants to touch that soup where the yid put the matzah in. So he says, "Can I have it? Can I have it?" And if nobody was going to, you know, if the Rebbe says pass it over, so you're going to pass it over, especially on Passover. And then he brings it, and here's the soup in front of him, and he starts eating the soup. So that very soup that the yid had put the matzah in, he carries on eating. What's going on over here? First of all, there's no lack of soup in the kitchen. There's plenty there. Why does Dafke have to take that soup? And not only that, but he never asked for seconds in his life. Why is he having seconds? Why is he Dafke have to do that? It was an astonishing episode. When the son asked him, what's going on over here? Why are you taking that soup out of all soups? Manishtana soup there from all the other. Why are you taking that soup? And then he said, I'll tell you, you know, all the To have chumras, hakpodas, you know, all gebrocht. This is a minik. It's a chumra. It's a very precious minik, but it's a chumra. It's a minik. It's a minik. Somebody's emotions, the way a person feels in his heart, that's for sure the reise. This person was undoubtedly was hurt when everybody was like saying, "Oh, chometz," and he was for sure hurt. His feelings were hurt. That's for sure the reise. If I can help that a little bit by finishing off his soup, helping eat, that's certainly a reise. person's feeling certain in the Reise, we know him, he's a schumu ba'alma. Tal Rebbe, to keep the priorities correct and to have the right measures. I think it's a very interesting story that I wanted to share with you. Okay. Okay, we're up to Simon Kuf Ches. We are learning the halachas of Tashlumin, and we finished off yesterday. We reached the end of Sif Hey, discussing the various Tashlumin. We spoke about somebody who missed many tefillas. What should he do then? It was a Tashlumin only for the last missed tefillah, but the additional tefillas can be done. Beteras Nedova. Sivov, top of page Kuf Lamed Vav. Ova Kol Hayoim. If a person missed the whole day past, Kol Hayoim, for Lois Palin Musaf, and he didn't daven Musaf. Ein lo Tashlumin. Musaf, I think I mentioned that earlier, Musaf does not have Tashlumin. Mishneh Bura explains in Seif Katan Chof. Tashlumin is not Tashlumin for Musaf. Da'eich yikar kobonois. How can you read the psukim relevant to the korban? V'kvar avaz man Musaf. How would it make sense to go through the psukim of the korban Musaf whilst there is no time, whilst it's past the time? So you can't go now, if it would be mincha time, if it would be after shkia, whatever it may be, and you can't dav Musaf anymore, you can't. We don't say the psukim though. We don't say now shachris shmoneh esrei. We're not going to go through the psukim of the. By Musaf specifically, we go through the psukim.
So it's because it's the same tefillah normally.
Correct. Tomit, yeah. Siv Zayin. Heizit veloy hispalel tefillah achas. If a person was hazed, he was amazed, he purposely missed the tefillah. V'lo yispalel tefillah achas, and he didn't have one tefillah. Ein lo tashlumin, he doesn't have a tashlumin. Afilu betefillah asmucholo, even the tefillah subsequent tefillah. In other words, there is no concept of tashlumin, there is no schos, an opportunity of making up a missed tefillah if it was missed, bemazed. If you really didn't care about that tefillah, then you can't make up afterwards. However, if he really changed his ways now, if he wishes to do an edova shmoneh esrei for that missed tefillah, he's allowed to do that. And he won't require chiddush. If he davens that shmoneh esrei, but tefillah smuchlo, if he davens straight away afterwards, which is definitely an additional understanding over here. So he says as follows: if a person willingly misses a Shmoneh Esrei, you cannot daven Tashlumin later. However, what you can do is you can do a Tfilas Nadova for that missed Tfilah, because Nadova really can always do. However, Nadova normally we need to Mechadish Bechidish, as we've spoken about previously. You need to make Tfilas Nadova, a voluntary Tfilah, you can only do if you have an additional Chidish in it. Here, when you're doing an adava because of a missed filler of a mazit, there you won't need a chiddush. That's what the Shulchan Aruch says. Now the Mishneh Bura mentions of Yentzef Kotn Chavalef a few interesting cases. Let us see what are those interesting cases the Mishneh Bura says over here in Sef Kotn Chavalef. Hazit, a person who purposely missed Shmoneh Mi Shabo Lebeis HaKnesses. A person who went to Shul. Somuch LeArvis. Just before Arvis. Veispalel Arvis MiBoyoyim. So he davened Maariv early, before Nacht. VeAdayin LoYispalel Mincha, and he didn't daven Mincha. So imagine that person just goes into Shul, and he davens, Shul davens Mincha and Maariv, and he just joins for Maariv, and he davens Maariv, without having davened mincha prior to that. Although he didn't do the right thing. Be'oit shakol mispalel arvis. He didn't do the right thing. If you just barge into shul and the shul is davening Maariv already, you shouldn't be davening Maariv with the tzibur because you still need to daven mincha. You should have been davening mincha whilst the tzibur davens Maariv. That's what you should have done. Mikol mokim nevertheless, he's not considered a mezid who didn't daven at all. And this is because the zman of mincha hasn't passed yet. You can still daven after the Maariv. You can still daven mincha. Although you're going to say that you can't have mincha at this time anymore, maybe you're going to say, hold on a second, this individual now, he has davened Maariv already. How can he daven mincha after Maariv? It's true, it's not Nacht yet, but how can he daven Maariv? How can he daven mincha after having daven Maariv? So he says, you can. He said that lemaisa you could. It's no different than tashlumin, and you'll be able to daven the mincha afterwards. In other words, we're discussing over the following case: a person who comes to shul for mincha maariv when he comes late. I don't know if late. Let's leave out the aspect of being an oinis or not an oinis. But for sure he comes late. And he joins the shul as the shul is davening Maariv. And he has missed mincha. Now, what is the ideal? What should he really do? What should he really do?
He should daven mincha before the zman
ends. Absolutely. He must now daven mincha. Don't be tempted by saying, you know what, I'm going to join this minyan now by davening Maariv with them. And you're going to go through v'rachom, shema, and joining them for the Maariv Shemoneh Esrei. Don't be tempted to do that, because you still need to daven mincha. So what you really should do is be davening mincha, and then afterwards, Maariv. But this particular person, he didn't do that. He joined the Maariv for the Maariv, without having daven mincha yet. So he literally went through the Maariv with the minyan. And now, the question is, can he daven mincha after having daven Maariv? Yes or no? Now one could argue, what do you think? Can he daven mincha after Maariv? This individual, can he daven mincha after Maariv? What do you think, Abbasel? Can he daven mincha after Maariv?
I'm a late entrant.
Shail is as follows. Mincha Maariv in shul. Person comes late. And he misses mincha altogether. Now he's joining. He just comes in time for Maariv. He hasn't done mincha yet. What should he do ideally? Should he join them for Maariv, sort his mincha out later? What should he do? Oh, absolutely. So what he shouldn't do, what he should do is, he should daven mincha, he should try to get a minyan, I suppose, the minyan, but he shouldn't be davening Maariv now with them. He should be davening mincha, he can do that simultaneously to the tzibur's Maariv. That's probably, but he should have mincha at this point. You don't be attempting to say Shema with them. So he should be davening mincha. Now, this particular individual, he didn't do that. What he did was that he joined them for Maariv. He joined them for Maariv without having daven mincha. Now, can he daven mincha after that? Or did he miss it? Did he miss the boat? He's missed it. You say that he's missed it. Oh. He can't. Very good. So the Mishnah Berurah says, that although it's the wrong thing to do, but by the Eved it's fine. And you can daven of it because it's Mibod Yoim, and it's not Nacht yet, and it's the same, and it's both a regular day, it's no Shabbos, Rosh Chodesh, etc. Therefore, you will be able to daven Mincha after Maariv. You'll be able to daven Mincha after Maariv because it's not Shkia yet, it's not Nacht yet. Well, Shkia or Nacht, yeah. Because it's not. Now, although, well, he's davening, ultimately what he's doing now is actually davening mincha after Maariv. That's really what he's doing. Yeah.
But it's better to daven.
It's the wrong thing to do. What I just explained now, it's the wrong thing to do. Ideally, should be davening mincha with them.
If you were to come in, because it's quite practical, you know, once in a while, but you come in and it's, you know, miss mincha and they start hu hu hu.
Right.
So
you should wait until they've done. Right. You wait when they go for Shmoneh Esrei. You will join them for Shmoneh Esrei. You'll be secretly davening mincha whilst they're doing Maariv. But it's, as far as Tefillah B'Tzibah is concerned, but you're going to be davening mincha then, okay? You're not going to have a chazor hashatz, but you're going to be davening mincha. Following that, you're going to daven Maariv, which is going to be b'yichidus.
It wouldn't be a problem. Let's say there was 10 men, one left, and you join.
That's a good question. That's a good question. A really good question. Something to think about. Really good question. Minion wise, yeah. Okay, good. That's what the Mishnah Berurah says. Right. The Mishnah Berurah continues an interesting line, and he says, "V'yomu Rosh Chodesh." In this particular case that we just mentioned now, that he's davening Maariv and he's going to davening the Mincha after that. If that night is going to be Rosh Chodesh, he should be davening. He should sing Rosh Chodesh on both. If the Maariv already is going to see Yalev Yovoi by Maariv, which that's a discussion on its own, but because it's not Nacht yet, but he's saying Yalev Yovoi by that Maariv Maariv Shmanes is saying Yalev Yovoi. Subsequent to that, he's going to be davening the Mincha, and that should include Yalev Yovoi as well, which is really, really interesting. Okay, we're ready for Sivches. Says the Shulchan Aruch the following halacha: Mi shelo yispalel ba'oid sheyesh lo zman leispalel. A person who didn't daven, a person didn't daven, whilst it was the time, mipnei because shesovu, he held shadayin yishol izman achashig moy oisa esek shumis asik boy, he thought that he'll complete the business that he's busy with, plenty, and he's going to be plenty of time for tefillah still, hu ben kach ovro lo yashor, and in the meantime there was no time left to daven. He passed his man. V'chein, and similarly, mi sheyotorot b'tzoich m'moynoi, person was very busy with his money. Shelo yovo lidei hefset, he wanted to avoid a financial loss. V'aledei kach, and because of these cases, hefset milispalel, he lost his tefillah. V'chein, and similarly, mi sheyoshika, somebody who is shika, v'lo yispalel, he didn't daven. Kulom chashuvim anusim, they're all considered anusim, v'yesh lehem tashlumin, they are entitled for tashlumin. Miu, however, lechatchilo liyav izman tefillah, a person should not miss izman tefillah, mishum hefzanon, because of financial loss. Okay, the case that Shulchan Aruch describes as follows. Case number one is as follows. A person thinks, oh, mincha, I'm still busy doing something, I'll be alright, I still have a bit of time, I'll finish what I'm doing now, and then I'll still have another 25, 35, 45 minutes for mincha, I'll be alright. I'll just get quickly my business, and get it done, I'll have mincha then. But you made a mistake, because it took longer than what you expected. You underestimated how long it's going to take to do your business. Now, that, would you consider that an oynes or a mezit? What do you say? Rabbi Oslo, what would you say? Call it oynes or a mezit?
You say it's no worse than a shikha.
It's about the same. Why is underestimating? What's comparable?
If he came shikha, then obviously he realizes that he won't be done properly, but he still got.
Oh, I see. That's a very good spot.
He's risking missing mincha, but does it anyway.
Yeah. Okay, Rabbi, I fully agree with you. To me, this is a very, very big chiddush, and I haven't got a full explanation in that. Shulchan Aruch tells us a person who underestimates and mismeasures how long his asik is, what he's busy with, how long it's going to take. He says, I'll be alright. And because of that, he misses mincha. I would have called him, you're a pusha, you're negligent. If you really care about your mincha, that's not going to happen, right? You're not going to miss a flight because of that. Right? If you're underestimating how long your business takes, I feel it's a bit like, there's a bit negligent. There's a bit of element of negligence over here. But Shulchan Aruch calls him an oynes. Absolute oynes. To me, that's a chiddush, Rabbi Yisai. I don't know what you think.
He thought he was going to have time.
You think that?
If he expected to have time, then he
the whole way through, he thought, I haven't got time, I can do it later. So therefore, he's an onus. If he runs out of time...
Right. So I see. So Mr. Shannon said something interesting. He said that it was genuinely... It's not he was pretending. He wasn't talking himself into it. He genuinely thought it's going to take 20 minutes and it ended up being a full hour. So that's the point you're making. So,
that's what he thought.
Yeah, he genuinely thought that's how long it takes. He wasn't wishful thinking. It was the reality. That's how long it normally takes. Okay, I hear that. Case number one, he's known as. Case number two is a person who is Torot Betzeich Memoinoi. He's busy for financial matters. In other words, he's earning money. And because of that, and he's busy earning money, but it's not just earning money. In fact, to be very accurate, he's worried about a financial loss. We've spoken previously about the difference between not earning and losing. Do you remember we spoke about that? That's right. It comes in, yeah, in various outlook. There's a difference about not earning. In fact, you're not taking a customer. You're not seeing to a client. So you're not earning something. Now, you don't lose a mincha because of that. But if it's a financial loss, that's something else. Then you're allowed to, that's considered an onus. Financial loss, that's considered an onus. Could somebody think of a case of a financial loss? Mincha for financial loss? Middle of a meeting. Very good example. No. Well, what's the meeting going to end up? What will lead? A business deal? No, that's not a hefset. You could have earned money. You could have made money by this deal. Now, because I'm leaving it, I'm not going to make this deal. So it's a minyas revach. It's not a hefset. One could argue. What do you think? Could be that actually. Yeah, I'm not sure. What do you think? Not sure. Yeah. Yeah, if you're losing out, yes, that's a good case. Yeah, could be. Can you repeat your case? Yeah. Mate, that's a very good point, Dad. I was almost thinking about that as well. If it's a meeting in progress, it could be it's different because then it's considered, yeah. Yeah.
Like an estate agent, he's trying to sell a house.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
He's got one more conversation.
Yeah, I hear that. That could be considered a hefsed mamash. Yeah, I hear that. An interesting Mishneh Berurah says of Yentziv Katan Chav Dalet, Shelo Yovri de Hefsed, consider what an onus is, and he says, V'chein similarly, Himo Yutorot Liknois V'limkois Chirosi, if somebody is busy buying and selling his merchandise, V'alidei Kachem, because of that, Ovazman Tfilim Mistis Tfilim, that's also considered onus. Anybody in business that is selling or selling merchandise, you're just about to sell something. Could be relevant for, doesn't have to be merchandise. Could be any. Yeah, that's right. You're selling people. That's right. Yeah. So you say, sorry, I have to interrupt this conversation. I'm going to be back in half an hour. You could be losing a customer that way. Explain.
Something came up in Chol HaMoed. A lot of these cases can go either way. It's very hard to find a really cut and dry case of Elias Revach and Hefsed Mammon either way. One example of a definite case of Hefsed Mammon would be if you've got a particular deadline by which to complete a deal, and if you don't complete it by a particular deadline, the item you're purchasing will cost more money.
Right.
And you've got a choice between completing
the... Yeah, that would be Hefsed. That would be Hefsed, yeah.
That's a pretty cut and dry
yeah.
case. But a lot of the other cases we've been describing, by the way.
Yeah, I hear that.
How
that's very interesting. That's really interesting, yeah. Yeah, yeah. But I think this Mishnah was interesting that... Now, I wonder if somebody who is a service provider, and you're not accepting clients, is that hefset? Is that a financial loss, or is it not earning?
Depends if you get paid by the hour or not. If you get paid by the hour, if you get paid for trips, you do, like the promise, then everything's hefset.
It would be direct. Would be. How would you look at it?
If you work 24/6, you make a lot of money.
How would you look at it? Not taking clients. Is it a financial loss or is it not earning?
It's not earning. Not fine because it's only a case where the clients will go somewhere else. If you have regular clients,
and you say La Cholamot,
right?
Not available. So it's no big deal because it's not. I don't have to fix.
Yeah, so it's different. That's it. So
well, if you have a business and you say, oh, you're not open the whole week, oh, I'm going somewhere else.
Yeah.
Basically, you lose those clients forever.
Right. Right. Okay.
You always have that risk because people expect instant.
Yeah, that's a very good spot. We spoke about it in Chas Chalamot. That's correct.
There's plenty of different people offering the same service. If they don't get it from you now, they'll just...
Yeah, that's a very good spot. To lose clients, which is what Bialocha said, losing clients, it's considered a hefset.
In the internet age where they can quickly access other service providers at the press of a button.
Yeah, interestingly, somebody told me that he's got a business that he can only have Yiddish clients. You can only have Yiddish clients because of Yom Tovim. Isn't that interesting? And service providers, they can only have Yiddish clients because of the days closed of the... He's a self-earning, independent service provider. And he said that if he can't provide over the Yom Tovim, then people aren't interested. He won't be able to contract, etc. Because... Yeah, it's really interesting. Yeah, that's okay. So, just to recap what we learned today, we learned the concept of Musaf doesn't have tashlumin. A person who did it b'mezid will not have tashlumin either. However, if he missed it b'mezid, he can do nedava. Won't have to be mechadish b'dava. Somebody who various examples of oynes in Siv Ches. One person is somebody who thinks he's going off time, but then it turns out that he missed his mincha. A person who is told be'tzorich memoinoi, busy with his financial matters. We learned to avoid financial loss. We learned somebody who's shika is also considered an oynes. There is tashlumin for them. We learned also that a person who comes in late from mincha ma'ariv and he joins in just for ma'ariv, what is the right approach? And more to come tomorrow, Mitzvah Shem.